Chapter 14, The Parash and the Shamish. During the time that Baruch learned in the Beis Medrash of Yanovich, he noticed that Reb Zalman Chaim, the Shamish, was preoccupied with mitzvahs and kind deeds. In addition to creating a lively house of davening and learning in the center of the bustling marketplace, the energetic Shamish also ran a gemach that offered interest-free loans. Like every other Shamish, Zalman Chaim made his rounds among the shul's members each Monday and Thursday after the Torah laning, vigorously shaking a metal container to elicit donations to tzedakah. Unlike other collectors, however, he never slipped a few coins in his own pocket as payment for his efforts on behalf of the shul. Every penny was used to loan money to poor peddlers and laborers who struggled to earn a living. Reb Zalman Chaim spent most of each market day in Yanovich wandering among the stalls of the marketplace. He kept an eye out for people who were finding it difficult to pay for basic household necessities. He would call such people aside and discreetly suggest that they accept an interest-free loan. He did the same whenever he noticed a merchant struggling to pay for merchandise or unable to close a business deal for lack of funds. "May you be blessed with success," Reb Zalman Chaim would wish each merchant that accepted his loans. "Use the loan for only good things. Do business honestly, and Hashem will help you succeed." It often happened that Reb Zalman Chaim attempted to come to someone's assistance only to discover that he was low on tzedakah funds. He would then march off to the homes of the wealthiest residents of Yanovich and obtain generous donations. Everyone in Yanovich knew that every coin they handed to Reb Zalman Chaim would swiftly find its way to a needy person. As soon as Reb Zalman Chaim would appear with his container in hand, hearts and purses would rapidly open. Between extending loans, Reb Zalman Chaim would repeat teachings of Chazal and stories with important morals for the benefit of the merchants and their customers. He would encourage everyone he met to attend the daily minyanim at the shul and to participate in shiurim. It seemed to Baruch that Reb Zalman Chaim's activities were more than the random acts of an unusually good-hearted person. He was not simply an energetic shamish who naturally enjoyed tzedakah and holiness. Reb Zalman Chaim seemed to have a hidden agenda. Baruch suspected that the shamish was a member of that secretive but wonderful group known as the Nestarim. His activities matched the mission of the Hidden Tzaddikim to encourage the masses of ordinary Jews to study Torah, live with Yiras Shemayim, and to serve Hashem with enthusiasm. As Baruch thought about Reb Zalman Chaim, he felt a powerful longing to meet him once again. His feelings were more than a strong longing to meet an old friend. You see, Baruch now compared the ways of the Shamish of Yanovich with the completely opposite conduct of a person in his hometown, Reb Shlomo Zelig, whom everyone called the Parish of Vitebsk. Reb Shlomo Zelig, the Parish, came from a Polish family of distinguished Talmidei Chachamim. When he was only 15 years old, he became known in the region as an Eloi with enormous intellectual powers and a vast knowledge of Torah. He was also known not to waste a moment of his time. His schedule was remarkable, one that few scholars were able to maintain. He would learn with unusual concentration throughout the day and sleep just 2 to 3 hours at night. Over the years, he became an expert in the entire Shas and its commentaries. Reb Shlomo Zelig gradually adopted the closed, strict lifestyle of a parish. For close to 50 years now, he sat and studied nonstop in the side room of the largest Beis Medrash in Vitebsk, leaving the room only for his most basic needs. He was well advanced in age. For almost 50 years, the parish uttered only words of Torah and nothing else at all. It had been half a century since he had spoken to a Peshitta Yid. He considered such Jews worthless, practically non-existent. He also fasted every Monday and Thursday and would not eat on Fridays as well. Now that Baruch was preparing to get married, he felt that his life had reached a spiritual crossroad. He had to carefully consider all the information that he had acquired in his life until this point and reach a decision as to how he would conduct his life from now on. "I must know," Baruch asked himself, "which of these two paths is the correct path to follow? Is it the approach of Reb Shlomo Zelig, the Parish, who shuts himself away entirely from the outside world and lives strictly in the world of Torah study? After all, Chazal tell us that the study of Torah is equal in importance to everything else a person might do in life. Or perhaps it is the approach of Reb Zalman Chaim the Shamish, who reaches out to every ordinary and even simple-minded Jew, the kind of people whom the parish is not prepared to acknowledge with even a single word, in order to draw them closer to a life of Torah, Avas Hashem, and Hidur Mitzvahs. Which of these two paths in life give the most pleasure to Hashem?" wondered Baruch. It was this question that made Baruch desire so strongly to again meet the Shamash of Yanovich. Baruch gave a warm farewell to his brother-in-law Yosef Yitzchak and set off on the road to Yanovich. When he reached his destination, he was met by disappointing news. Reb Zalman Chaim, he was told, had disappeared from the town of Yanovich over a year ago and had not been heard from since. Nobody knew where he had gone or when he might return. He had appointed someone else as Shamish and then disappeared. Baruch was now more certain than ever that Reb Zalman Chaim was indeed a member of the Nestarim. His mysterious disappearance proved that he had been sent to Yanovich on a mission, and once he had completed that mission, he had promptly left the city. Although their beloved Shamish had departed Yanovich, his influence on the townspeople remained. It was amazing to see how one individual improved the lives of so many people single-handedly and positively influenced an entire town. It was even more impressive when Baruch considered that Reb Zalman Chaim had not served as the town's Rav or Magid, but had merely filled the humble role of a Shamish. Wherever he went in Yanovich, Baruch heard only the wonderful praises of Reb Zalman Chaim. The townsmen organized new shiurim because of their shamish and formed new minyanim at his urging. He had transformed the lives of countless families, spiritually and materially. Reb Zalman Chaim's achievements were obvious everywhere. What made the strongest impression on Baruch was the change that had occurred to a man named Reb Zalman Leib. He found Reb Zalman Leib delivering a Torah class in the shul Reb Zalman Chaim the Shamish had founded in the center of the marketplace. A large crowd listened as Reb Zalman Leib spoke with great enthusiasm. Once the class ended, Baruch observed Reb Zalman Leib davening with immense feeling. To Baruch, this was the surest sign yet that Reb Zalman Leib had become an entirely new person. He still remembered the personal history of the old version of Reb Zalman Leib, the one who had harassed the Shamish in every way possible and had attempted to make his life a misery. At the time, it had been difficult to imagine that Reb Zalman Leib could ever change his ways. Baruch now realized precisely what it was that caused this wonderful transformation.